Here we go, diving right into the Minnesota Goodbye with our usual content generator, you.
Woo! Thank you.
You're kind of like our AI because we ask you to come up with content for the show, and you come through every time. Patty says, hello, my favorite morning show. I love War of the Roses. Do you ever feel like the couple is in on it together just to get on the radio? Yes, that has happened a couple of times.
We
and other times.
Blatant one that we played because it was so ridiculous, where we asked for the email and the guy literally said something like matt@gmail.com and we were like, okay.
Yeah. And they were trying to get on War of the Roses. There have been other times where we suspected it, but, you know, I'll be honest with you, unless we knew for sure, we'd go ahead and play it anyway.
Yeah.
So some of them are like so outrageous that we go, are you kidding? Is this made up? But then other ones we go, it sounds crazy, but I know, because you can hear in the tone of their voice sometime, they're not pretending. I always love it when you tell the person that knows about the setup and Dave tells them it's the other person and not the one calling.
Yeah.
So if Jenny is cheating with a guy named Richard, then I would have somebody named Richard maybe call in and say, you kind of get it. Like, in other words, it's like, oh, are you cheating on me? And Jenny's like, no, Richard, I love you. But it turns out Richard is actually Jenny's husband.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay. I hope it does. I'm glad you like that, Patty. Thank you. Next one. Always get a kick out of when you poke fun at Glencoe, says Rebecca. My husband's from Glencoe. Dave, when you went and met the train conductor, you drove right past his house. I had a fantasy that I brought up on the radio 5-ish years ago that I've never been in a big locomotive and I've always wanted to be in one.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a train company out of Glencoe and they invited me to come out and they drove me like 10 miles down the track and turned around and came back.
That's awesome.
Was one of the coolest experiences. I actually had tears in my eyes at the end of it because it was just so cool. I'd always wanted to do that. I about lost it when you referred to the Huser family as my mother-in-law has named one of my children's toys Mr. Huser. And they pretend that Mr. Huser or the toy is selling them parts for their cars. As much as we love my husband's family, I am happy to say that, like a princess in shining armor, I swept him off his feet and we settled in a different place. Thank you for all the laughs. That is from Rebecca. We know the Huser family because there's a woman that works at the station. She's worked here forever. Her name is Barb Huser.
Yeah.
And
she's married, so it's not her name anymore. That's her maiden name. Yeah.
Right. She's from the Huser family, and we would joke that they were the tycoons of Glencoe. I think they own the tire store and maybe a feed store or something else. I'm not exactly positive. Next one. Oh boy, it is a long one. We read that one yesterday. Okay. So great. I'm going to delete that one. Thank you. And this one is, I hate to look at this one while, I'm going to skip up because it's a long one. And I'm trying to be respectful and skip some of the longer ones so we can get a few more emails on the show. And as I'm scrolling down, you said you sent some last night. Mm-hmm. And I'm still looking. Can you stall for me for a minute?
Yes.
Doodly-doo.
I know. I almost feel like I should just pull up the emails myself, too, to help you out.
Okay. Well, here's one.
But.
Gosh, I'm sorry that I'm not finding the ones that you sent to me last night. I don't know what happened to them, but they were here a moment ago.
Are they in your inbox and you're in like a specific folder?
Well, no. Doodly-doo. All right.
But I will say this.
Okay.
Drake brought in 2 bags of corn nuts that were for a bit we did earlier because he got them out of his studio because he can't stop himself. And I want to eat them so badly. The ranch one is facing me right now. I'm just going to take one little nibble.
A couple bites of the ranch and the barbecue because I don't actually think I've ever had corn nuts before. The ranch is so much better.
It's very delightful. Of thing where you can't eat that full bag.
No.
Your jaw would be wrecked. Life.
Mm-hmm. They're a lot crunchier than I was expecting. I was thinking it was going to be more of your just like basic peanut, not so crunchy.
Fallon, if you want to look in your scent file, because literally they were here a moment ago and now they're not here, which is the weirdest damn thing. You sent them last night. Okay. These are from yesterday. God, this is the most messed up. Okay. Let's try this one. We currently live in a smaller town with an affordable mortgage. However, there are no homes for sale in our price point. I'm a realtor. Homes are selling quickly once they are listed, and we feel like we can make out pretty well on our home. So, in other words, if they sell their home, they'll do well. We're looking to move up to a city in the metro area that's growing exponentially, and we'd be pushing our budget a little to make the move. Would you make the move and get into a growing community where homes are going to appreciate in value, or would you stay put? If we stay put, we'd have a short commute to work, which isn't a huge deal, but we're really wanting more opportunities for a family, like better school, more activities, etc. Thanks for being a staple in our family's morning every day. That is from Stacy, not my real name. Well, that's an interesting question.
I think it probably depends on how tight you're going to be.
That's exactly the answer, yeah.
Because you don't want to be, as they call it, house poor, where you can't actually do the activities you're talking about doing because you can't afford to.
I think that's one of the things that we enjoy about our house now, is that our house payments are affordable and we have money left over. So if I want to fly to Colorado or Arizona to see Chase, I can afford to do it. I don't have to go, oh my God, can we afford it? For example, Susan's like, oh, can I go to Florida with Terry, her friend Terry? I'm like, yeah, we don't have to wonder. You know, it's not like we can spend money willy-nilly.
Right.
But I think that's one of the great things. If we decide we want to go to Ike's, we can go to Ike's and we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
So, but I think that's a good answer.
Okay. Here are
what do you
some
got?
Emails.
Okay.
Okay. This is like a bunch of random questions. Number one, they maybe read some of these.
That's what I thought. It's like, but you sent them last night. Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, that one's okay.
Doodly-doo.
So, no, I have one.
Okay.
It's a longer one, but I'll just shorten it a little bit. Hello, my favorite folding, laundry, and house chore friends. I have to kick it off with my language pet peeve, which was when people misuse the phrase, I couldn't care less. Have we done this one?
I read it, but I don't know if we read it on the radio.
Okay. They said, I see it all the time, and I could care less. Even in books, and it drives me nuts. The phrase is intended to point out that you could care so little about a person, place, situation that
you couldn't care less
about it than you already do. I couldn't care less about War of the Roses. I already don't like it. This one says, I want to follow up with the listener who wrote in seeking out some parenting guidance. I think it's awesome she wants to expand her knowledge and be a great parent. I think people should expect to have to work on parenting. It's a skill. Like anything else, you get better with time and effort. I have learned so much in my ECFE, which is Early Childhood and Family Education, classes about childhood development and parenting skills. It's a unique program offered only in Minnesota, and you can find it in every school district. I want to throw out a few other resources you could mention if you have time. Everyone I've always heard says ECFE is great. It's a great way for you to meet other mom friends as well. So this one says, help me grow. It's for ages 0 to 3, an awesome program and website available to all parents at all income levels here in Minnesota. 0 to 3. A great resource for parental support and learning about baby and toddler development. My ECFE class often uses their materials. Dr. Siggy, it's spelled S-I-G-G-I, is an awesome Instagram resource, and she always posts things that feel so timely. I have another one like that, Dr. Becky. She's really good, and even Elizabeth Reese will post her. Sorry this turned out longer. So even if Fallon wants to read about Dr. Siggy on her own, I think it might be helpful in relating to Olive. I have kids that age, and it's hard. We made it through the third snowiest season on record with a 3-year-old, and most of it was covered in ice, so give yourself a pat on the back. I like this tip I got at ECFE. Most power struggles are started by the parent, not the toddler. It's helped me reframe some things. Happy Monday. I think that's
okay, let's
one.
Stop on that one. Most power struggles are started by the parent, not the toddler.
Because you're trying to make them do something they don't want to do is usually what happens.
But you have to.
You can. But so one of the things that they'll do is, like, for me, what I've talked about is just like, or what I've read, I guess, or seen is like, you're supposed to offer kids options so that it won't become like a struggle, which only also works some of the time. So when Olive doesn't want to wear anything we've picked out for her, I give her two options. You can wear the pink dress. You can wear the blue dress. Which one is it going to be? And there are lots of times she doesn't want to wear either of the dresses, but I don't give, I'm like, you pick one or the other. And yeah, the power struggle begins, and it's delightful.
I'm going to tell you a piece of parenting advice that I heard from, her name is Lisa Welchel, and you probably don't remember her, but she was Blair on The Facts of Life back in the 70s and the 80s. And then she grew up to become like a Christian author or something like that. And one piece of parenting advice that I heard from her that I always thought was like half brilliant and half messed up.
Okay.
Was when her, you know how sometimes little kids, they don't want to hold your hand. Like you're walking into Target or the State Fair.
Yep.
And they don't want to hold your hand. She said, I tell my kids, she has a Southern accent. I tell my kids, I'm going to hold your hand or hold your hair. Your choice. Holy crap. Can you imagine if Olive's like, I want to hold your hand. And you're like, okay, it's going to be your hair or your hand.
Yep.
Which is it going to be? Ah, they're both horrible. Speaking of parenting, I had a little epiphany on the way into work this morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to do an interview with somebody next week. They're a radio guy from our company, and they want to do, like, you know, highlights and different radio people and how you got into it and how you stay in it for so long. And I was trying to think of, like, well, what is, like, for lack of a better word, the method of longevity in radio? And it occurred to me as I was driving in this morning that I think one of the reasons that I kind of get radio has to do with being a parent for the last 40 years. Beth is 40, but really full time for the last 30 years because Allison's 31. And I think that parenting and doing a good radio show has something in common. You want to hear what I think it is? So when you're a parent, you find out what your kids like, and you kind of stay away from what they don't like. For example, Carson loved to go whitewater rafting, but he didn't like vacation Bible school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you find out as a parent what it is your kids like, and they still have to do things they don't like picking up dog poop or whatever it is that they have to do. But you, parents absolutely know what their kids like. But in radio, it kind of comes in handy in that I find out what people who listen to our show like, and I give you all things that you like. In other words, I don't have to give you any punishment. There is no vacation Bible school or cleaning up dog poop as you listen to the radio. It should all be pleasurable. It should all be M&M's, whitewater rafting, and Valley Fair.
Yeah.
So that is what I try to give to you as you listen to the show, is M&M's, whitewater rafting, Pringles, Valley Fair, and grilled cheese sandwiches, things that you love. Because you don't come here to get things that you don't like.
Right.
Once in a while, you get something that makes you think or makes you sad or makes you cry.
Or uncomfortable.
Or uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm still here, is because I think through parenting, I've learned, listen to what people who listen to the show say about the show. So if we do a bit and people go, that was kind of dumb or that was boring, I don't go, oh, I like it, I'm going to do it. So we stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my epiphany on the way in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more to it than that. As
oh, really?
You've had your career for so long. I would say it's not just knowing what people like. I would say a lot of people could, like, look at the news and see what people like. But if they aren't talented, there's a natural talent that comes with it. If they aren't hardworking.
True,
if they
yeah.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I would just say I wouldn't put your success into that small category.
I think it's kind of what, I don't want to brag, but I think it's what sets me apart from a lot of radio people who kind of stumble through their career and then they get laid off in the next round of layoffs and they go, why, what happened? And I think a lot of people forget that you're doing the show for someone's entertainment, for their purpose, not for your purpose. I am not here to get famous. I am not here to get notoriety. I don't care if you don't recognize me when I come into your tire store. I'm not going to be like, wow, I use my best radio voice, and they didn't even say, are you Dave Ryan? I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I am here because I really get a pleasure out of finding out that you enjoyed the show. And that's why it hurts so much when somebody says, I didn't like the show. I didn't like that. You suck. You need to retire. It should be the Jenny in the Morning Zoo show.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I just had that kind of epiphany on the way in.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. I'll be honest with you. There's no way I can try to, like, skim these emails while listening to you on the podcast.
It's hard, isn't it?
I'm not. Yeah. And I send them all to you. And so
I don't know what happened
to
them.
I don't know either. Maybe there weren't that many that came in yesterday. Honestly, maybe we got through most of the ones that I sent yesterday for the podcast, which I actually think I sent on Sunday. So it would have been Sunday that a bunch came in. Or Monday morning.
Well, I'll go through them.
One by one here live.
My mailbox is out of control. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Here's maybe something that you can talk about or write in. Is your email box out of control in my AOL right now? That is my main, make fun of me all you want to because I still have AOL. I have 115 messages and it is so full of spam and garbage and crap.
I just delete all those.
And I delete them too.
Yeah.
And I block people that send, it's usually press releases like, you know, like Miller Chevrolet. I'm not picking on them. I love Miller Chevrolet. They're wonderful. But if they have a press release that says, hey, we're doing a big car show this weekend, I usually block things like that I don't care about so they can't send any more. And again, Miller Chevrolet, love you. I use you as an example. But we get so much garbage email and my email box is, it looks like I'm a hoarder. It looks awful.
I keep my email box very organized, so that's not my thing. But I have gotten to the point where I used to feel like I had to respond to every DM on Instagram, and I'm slowly allowing myself to not. Like yesterday, kindest people, I posted a picture of cottage cheese with tomatoes, and I had probably 10 people ask, what is that? And I was like, I can't respond to 10 people and say, this is cottage cheese with tomatoes. And so I always used to feel really guilty if I left someone on read, but I'm like, I have to do that. But also I have to not have messages show up in the corner. So I have to clear them by reading them. But I've decided I don't have to respond to every single message. I just try to respond to as many as I can.
I'm kind of the same way. We got to wrap up. We will see you tomorrow here on the Minnesota Goodbye.